Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, star seeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I have such an awesome episode for you today. And oh my gosh, the energy today, Friday, May 10th, is just so magical and so beautiful. I have no idea why. I don't know what's going on astrologically, if anything. But man, I woke up this morning feeling like something is about to pop and it's something good. It feels like something really exciting is going to happen. I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's next week. I have no idea what that means. I just know that that is what I feel. And the interactions I'm having today are so fucking beautiful. Even like the grounded ones. I had to go to the bank this morning and just my interaction with the bank guy that I was meeting with was wonderful. Everything feels like it is scintillating and effervescing with a sparkle of magic. I don't know. I'm just going to ride the crest of this wave for as long as I can, and I'm not even going to bother with expectations or trying to decode it. I hope that you receive some of my infectious enthusiasm and excitement through my voice as I talk about this, and that it just like lands in your world and sparks a bunch of magic for you if you're not already feeling it yourself. Okay, so then also we have such a great episode today, such an awesome conversation with Jacqueline Wright, who is an amazing Akashic Records reader and graduate from my Akashic certification program. She's just so good within the Akashic Records, so good at what she does. And in this episode, she shares about her spiritual awakening journey, and she shares about, changes that she made to her life to be able to maximize the spiritual awakening journey, weird ways that she noticed some darker, more distorted energies showing up in her life. She shares her journey in being drawn towards the Akashic Records, finding the Akashic Records, learning how to read it. She shares some really important and rich details about how she learned to read the Akasha, as well as how she learned to recognize some of her psychic experiences, even when they were not necessarily like smacking her upside the head with a 2x4, you know, when they were coming through in their more subtle ways, but how she just let that be so. Oh my God, she also shares about her walking experience, which is so, you know, I'm fucking here for that. And she also shares a little bit about the journey of becoming an Akashic Records reader, an Akashic mentor, and a spiritual life coach. And I just admire Jacqueline so much. Go check her out on social media. Her Instagram account is really beautiful. I love the way that she shares, and she shares like the snippets and tidbits of her life. She is a wife and a homeschool mom to 3 boys. And like, my hats always go off to homeschool parents. I'm just like, that is a whole other level of badassery that I can't claim for myself. And I just admire it and respect it. It's beautiful. And Jacqueline's life is beautiful, and she's beautiful. And I'm just so excited to share her with you. She is accepting bookings for readings as well as slightly deeper Akashic mentorships, because I mean, here's the thing with Akashic readings, okay, is there's nothing wrong with a single Akashic session. I am all about those, and there's so much to explore that even though you can cover a ton of ground in a single reading, it almost sometimes can feel like having an amazing date with somebody where you just connect and you vibe. And then you're like, wait, isn't there more? Like, when can I see you again? It's a little bit like that kind of energy. And so mentorship is like, yeah, let's see each other again. You know, not in a dating capacity, but in a let's go deeper. Let's explore more. There is more there to explore. And she also does spiritual life coaching, which is amazing for people who are going through an awakening or having like going through a process of reevaluating all of their prior worldviews and or spiritual and or religious beliefs, all the things. So check her out. She's the best. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. In my world, I've got psychic school starting on Tuesday, May 14th. So this coming week, it is going to be the fucking best. So, so excited for this. Psychic school is a vocational school for psychic souls. I have created it to help you discover your own unique psychic gifts, your own unique expressions. So, you know, it's basically like, in my mind, it's a little bit like a Hogwarts for psychic development. So we're not doing magic with wands and spells and shit like that. That's not up my alley. That's not in my wheelhouse. But we are going to practice using our psychic gifts, and we're going to go on some deep discovery to like understand your own aptitudes and strengths and how your gifts work together and how they want to be channeled and flowed. And it's for people who want to use this as a vocation, as their soul work, like to integrate their psychic abilities either with a career in the more traditional sense, like within an employment structure, within an existing system, or for people who want to blaze their own trail and start a business offering their unique services. For example, I was doing a reading earlier today for somebody whose child is struggling to sleep on their own because of some scary paranormal experiences that they're having. And when I went into the Akasha around that question, I saw that there are practitioners who do kind of like sleep and nighttime trauma therapy kind of stuff with children and youth, but who embrace the paranormal piece so they can really validate and help the child or the youth understand what they're experiencing in a way that is like validating and not gaslighting or dismissive, you know? So, I mean, like, those are the people that I'm here for. I'm just fucking here for it. So anyway, psychic school is starting. You can still join. It is going to be the best. 4 months together, deep dives, really working together to bring your gifts forward. And then apart from that, I am holding an Akashic Records flash sale right now. Last week, I spontaneously got the urge to open up as many spots in my calendar as possible through the summer and discount my readings significantly so that I can meet with as many of you as possible. And I was only going to run the sale from Wednesday, May 8th through to the end of the day today, Friday, May 10th. And then I realized, oh my God, well, that's not fair because I didn't share it with my podcast people. So how rude. So I'm going to extend it through the weekend. Hard end on end of day, Sunday, May 12th. Okay, so it's only going through this weekend. If you missed it, I'm sorry, but I can't do it beyond the weekend. But I have opened up a ton of spaces. And for context, my readings are usually $2,000. They are a high ticket, like VIP experience. We have communication before the reading even happens to hone in on like the direction of the reading and all the things. But also we have like post-reading communication. It's a very high touch experience. But that's usually like what I charge for my readings. I've discounted them to $555. And it's not with the VIP bells and whistles. It's just a reading. But These readings are deep. They are highly activating, highly transformative. This is why I have so many repeat Akashic clients, because they really, really bring through profound activations. So I've opened up, as I said, as many spaces as I can through all of the summer to accommodate as many readings as possible at this flash sale price. And I think now that it's settled in for a couple days, I think the reason is that I know that in the fall, when I fully take over this store on my own, I'm not going to have the time to do readings. Unless they are like the full high ticket VIP ones, which people do book. I just did one yesterday, but obviously I'm not booking those in a super high volume. So that's why I can fit those ones in, but the lower cost ones, I just don't think I'm going to have the capacity to do it. So this is the only flash sale, or the last flash sale that I'm running for 2024 on individual readings. So this is your opportunity to get in. And like I said, I've opened up as many spaces as I can. So I cannot wait to dive into your Akashic records and create absolute magic together. And then finally, the only other thing that I want to say before I toss it back over to Jacqueline is that the certification program that she completed, Akashic Holographic Mastery, is starting again in July of this year, and I'm so pumped about it. You can get in on early bird price right now, which is a tremendous savings. So the link to all of this is in the show notes, as always. But if you want to check it out, it's not a full sales page. It's like an early bird link with just the bare bones information of what you get. But that link is in the show notes for massive savings. If you've just been waiting and you know you want to do this certification, which I know a few of you do, then might as well get in and save yourself quite a lot of money. That's it in my world. Definitely check Jacqueline out. And I'll say too, if you vibe with me in particular in terms of like Akashic Records style, then I think you will very much vibe with Jacqueline. And so if you miss the flash sale, or if the flash sale price is still out of reach for you, out of budget for you at this current time, then definitely check Jacqueline out, and check her out anyway. Like, I'm not trying to say that she's a discount version of me, because she's not. She's doing her own beautiful, magical thing that I could never replicate, but we have a very similar vibe. And so I think that if you like me, you will like Jacqueline. And I mean, I just 10 out of 10 recommend her anyway, because she's fucking brilliant. So without any further rambling on my part, here is the conversation with the beautiful, gifted, talented, brilliant Akashic Records reader, Jacqueline Wright. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today, I'm so excited to have with me the beautiful Jacqueline Wright. She is an Akashic Records reader, a pure channel, a spiritual awakening guide, and she is that all while being the mom, three homeschool boys, and a wife to an amazing husband. She has the ability to channel information directly from your higher self, and the guidance that comes through her is balanced between the elevated perspective of the Akashic Records and the grounded, like, earth perspective with actionable directions. She has the ability to attune yourself to your highest self and your Akashic Records and your highest path in this life. And I just think that Jacqueline is so amazing and so brilliant, and the insights that she offers and shares are truly next level. So I'm very excited to welcome her to the podcast. Thank you, Jacqueline, so much for being here. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So, okay. I mean, this is going to be kind of a treat for me too, because on one hand, I know you very well because you were in the Akashic Records certification program, which spanned over a good number of months. But on the other hand, there's so much that I don't know, even about your spiritual awakening journey. So will you tell us what it was like for you going through your awakening, and kind of like where you started out and how it's brought you to here now?
Yeah. So, well, I have to share, because I just thought of it yesterday. I had this flashback memory to being in my garage. We used to have a treadmill in our garage, and I had just gone through my phase of awakening where I was minimalizing like my entire space And I was listening to the minimalists, and I had like come to a completion with that. And I found your podcast, and I remembered like it was like the first podcast I listened to. There was something in me that just knew you. And I was in my head, I was like, I'm going to talk to her someday, and I'm probably going to be on this podcast. And I just yesterday, I just remembered like walking on the treadmill thinking that. And I was like, oh my gosh, this world is wild.
This life is so wild, and manifestation is fucking real.
Yeah, totally. And then I was thinking, like, my ego's quick to be like, well, you paid for a container and that's why. But like, that's just the portal that it went through and like totally manifested this. I think it's, yeah.
Completely. And like lots of people have joined various programs that I've had, and everybody doesn't come on the podcast. That would be crazy. I would never, like that alone, I would never be finished working. But yeah, it is the portal that it manifested through, right? Which is, I think it's a helpful thing to remind people is like manifestation can be super magical, like truly, truly magical. And it has to come through some kind of grounded sequence of events. So it's
Totally.
like both, it's grounded and magical all at the same time.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like I'm in this phase right now where so many manifestations are coming through and my ego's trying to steal them away. And I'm in a phase of like reminding myself, like, no, this is so magical and amazing and like bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So take us back to like, where you were, I don't know, however many years ago, where you could never have imagined that this would be your path.
Yeah, totally. So I think that my awakening really started in 2012. I lived in Eugene. I was going to a Christian college. And at that school, I loved it. I loved going to my main I grew up going to Lutheran church like on holidays basically. And then I went to this Christian college because I got a scholarship to play soccer there. It wasn't really like my faith that took me there. And I feel like my faith was always kind of wavering. I never really fully understood what my own beliefs were. But I always remember in chapel or in church during the singing portion of those things, I would just feel so much love like arise in my body that I couldn't deny that there was something there for sure. And so that being at that school, we had to go to chapel like 3 times a week. And so I was. But then in the school, there was just like weird stuff that did not fit. Like, in the one example I'll give is one of my favorite professors got pregnant and she wasn't married to the husband or the she wasn't married to the guy and they fired her. And that just like threw me down a spiral of like, not wanting anything to do with religion. And at that point, I thought it was God as well, like just really unsure. But so anyways, and I read the Eckhart Tolle's books in 2012 while I was going to that school. And that was when I really started to be aware to like pay attention to my thoughts. But that was really it. And I just hung out in that space for a long time. And I think I gained a lot of practice in being mindful of my thoughts. And that propelled me for a long time. And then I think that's what helped make this awakening so quick. But let's see. And then fast forward, I had 2 little boys, and I'd say the next most important part of my journey was deciding to get sober. I don't think anyone in my life would say that I had a problem with drinking. I just partied with my friends and family, and my family partied together. We were all best friends, and we just got together and drank. And I correlated drinking with fun. Like, if I was going to go to something that was fun, I thought there had to be alcohol at it. And then that just started to progress to like, every night I wanted to have fun. So I was drinking a couple glasses of wine every night. And I just started to be like, sit back and think, okay, I know that this is a progressive disease. And so I'm like, I'm 28, I'm tw 28, 29. And if I like fast, I'm drinking at least 2 glasses of wine a night. If I fast forward to in my 50s, what is that going to look like for me? And it started to scare me. And so my brother, I asked my brother if he had any books for me to read. And those thoughts had been going on for a while. And I wasn't ever able to think like, no, I not drinking was never a thought that came up in my mind. Like it was always like, I just want to drink less. I just want to learn to control my drinking. And then my brother suggested a book to me called The Naked Mind by Annie Grace. And that book completely unraveled all my subconscious beliefs about alcohol. And I realized that the person I am can't control it. And I don't even want to. Like all of the reasons I was drinking, I no longer believed anymore. And I could see the ginormous lie that it is. And I swear to two chapters into that book, I was like, I'll never drink again. And it wasn't even hard. Like it has been hard, but it was never like hard, like I might drink again. It was hard, like I'm never doing this again and I'm gonna get through this.
That's interesting. Is the book about drinking specifically, or is it about like more addiction or like numbing
Drinking
out or whatever?
specifically. Drinking
Okay.
specifically. And it goes into all the reasons we drink. Like
Yeah.
we Like how we think it makes us more fun or more outgoing, and it just debunks everything about it. And then also points out like the huge lie of how media romanticizes it and songs and everything. And
Totally.
yeah, it just does an amazing job at rewiring your subconscious while you're reading it.
That's cool. Do you think that it would, do you think you could extrapolate a lot of it to apply to, like, if somebody's listening and they don't necessarily have a problem with alcohol, but they're kind of recognizing what you're describing about yourself from the past around some other behavior or substance or something that they're using to, like, I don't know, cope or have fun or numb out or whatever? Do you think that that book, if it was read, it could still be useful in helping somebody with a different substance or behavior?
I'm sure it could. Yeah, it's really specific on alcohol, but the premise of it and the ways that it unravels the way you think about things, I think for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, and
It was The Naked Mind by Annie Grace.
yes, and she so there's she learned from Steve Ozenich and Dr. Sarno, who teach the mind-body connection, and how the Dr. Sarno's book is called Healing Back Pain, and he teaches how back pain is 100% just linked to your mind and nothing physical. And so she read that and healed her back pain. And then she was talking to Steve Ozenich, who also teaches the mind-body syndrome, and she was like, "Do you think I could apply this to drinking?" And then she applied that to drinking and wrote this book. So yeah, for sure it could be. And so and then I was really, really lucky because my husband was open to listening to the book and he quit with me. So I know that I was really blessed on this journey because my brother had quit drinking 6 months before me. Johnny quit with me, and then my mother read the book like a month after me and she decided to quit. And I know that there's been a people I've recommended the book to who haven't quit drinking. So I know this was part of a plan for my family unit to all have each other and do this together.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then after I quit drinking is when my awakening like came in very specific layers of each like finding out more about myself as one like delusion was lifted, the next delusion would pop up. And the way that I coped with not drinking is I would go to Target every Friday. And then that was paired with I also was shoplifting like crazy. that was where I think my addictive energy went to shoplifting. So then my awakening was I read Beat Simpkins' book, and she woke me up to like how stealing is never going to get you ahead in life, and how it's like doing the exact opposite. And then also to help me quit stealing, I was like, okay, well, I just need to get rid of everything I own. Like, I need to get rid of this impulse to have stuff. And so that's where my energy went. And then I minimized everything and I got rid of an incredible amount of stuff and I stopped going shopping. And so then the next phase was realizing it had been like a year of minimizing and I had nothing left to get rid of. Like, people would come over and be like, can I use a cheese grater? I'd be like, sorry, I don't have one. Like, I've gotten rid. Can I have some tape? Nope, don't have any tape. Like, I got rid of everything. And I would wake up in the morning, like, what, fiending to minimize. Like, it just, and that's when I like clued into, like, oh, I'm just completely avoiding myself. Doesn't matter. And I realized that my distractions were getting healthier, which was,
Right.
but they were still distractions. And I
Yeah.
think that's a huge, huge piece of my awakening, because I can see now how my healthy eating, my exercise, minimalist, whatever it is, it looks fine on the outside. It looks like you're being healthy, but it's still keeping you from truth if you're completely tunnel visioned onto it.
Totally, totally. Like there's an energy behind it. I actually just posted on Instagram about this kind of thing today, but I didn't really know how to articulate it properly. But I was like, being spiritual is about being here in the material, but from the highest frequency we can achieve. And so, like, money isn't the problem, the body isn't the problem, any given behavior, anybody else's opinion, none of that is actually the problem. It's more the frequency we bring to it. And the same can be said for healthy behaviors. Like if you're, exactly. Like if you're, let's say you're living like the healthiest lifestyle ever, you're doing like regular detoxes and you're very healthy and you're just taking care of your body and whatever. On the outside, like you said, it can look like it's a really positive thing. But if on the inside it's coming from a lower frequency of like, I don't accept myself, I don't forgive myself, I still hold resentment about something that happened or somebody else, or I don't feel like I'm enough, or whatever, that we all have that shit inside, then even the healthy behavior has little like added unhealthy side effects that reflect that energy that's like behind the behavior.
Yes, absolutely. And I think everything you said, what it comes down to is just the ability to be with yourself and not be doing anything. Yeah. And so up until that point, everything I was doing, all my awakenings were like 3D awakenings. And the next phase was I read the book Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
So
And
good.
yeah. And I have to say, my brother Tyson, he's always been like 6 months ahead of me, and he gave me all these books, and I'm just like so grateful. I've definitely have had so much energetic help from him, and I just have to like give him a shout out because he's been with me every step of the way. But so that book is when I realized my thoughts are more like I can be aware of my thoughts, but if I'm not actively changing them, I'm not really doing anything. And that's where I was at that point in that part of my awakening. And I realized, like, as within, so without, I'm creating my own reality. Like, that was when I think the possibility to go 5D and to actually start consciously creating was turned on for me after reading that book.
Yeah, it's so good. Did you download the guided meditations? Did you do either of the meditations?
I didn't. I
Yeah.
listened to that book on YouTube. There's a
Okay.
free Audible on YouTube that I listened to.
It's so good. It was one of like my awakening books too in 2012. And it's the one that set me on my highest timeline. But I practiced his, like they're like more like a self-hypnosis process. It was a commitment though, because they're an hour long and he has such a weird voice. Like I still, Joe Dispenza's meditation
I remember downloading one a couple of years ago, and I was like, what the hell is this? It's not meditation-y at all. But still, like with a couple of them, I've stuck with them and they've really worked for me. He's definitely tapped into something.
Totally. And I know what you're, I've done one where he does his breath work where he has you bring your Kundalini energy through your pineal gland and out. And it's like the meditation is so intense and his voice and the music. It's like, I feel like I'm
Yes.
at like a rave or something.
Totally. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, there's nothing calming about this meditation I'm listening to right now.
Yeah, totally. He's incredible. But yeah, I'd say that was like the biggest awakening in terms of like, oh, now I know how to do life. Like now I know what to practice and how to go about this. And then that's when I started reading hundreds of books. I found your podcast. I found Lacey's podcast Expanded. And I'm a in human design, I'm a 1-3. I think it's experimenter and knowledge seeker. So I just like take in every piece of information that I can possibly take in, and I hop around and yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's such a beautiful journey. And I love that what you were saying about just kind of like these certain 3D illusions and certain 3D behaviors were the first layers that wanted to be seen and changed. And then it kind of moved up into a more like spiritual consciousness all around in life level. And I just like the way that you described that a lot. And also, I've got to say, like, so much admiration for you because you homeschool 3 boys and you have a very well established yoga practice and a very well established meditation practice. And it sounds like from some of your Instagram posts, it seems like it has really served you a lot. And I know that it can be hard to do that when you have children. What's your what how has have you made it work for yourself?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I do think part of it is that addictive type energy that is seems to be in my blueprint. But I know that I just like to be okay, I need to meditate, and to be the best mom to my kids, I need to meditate. I need to practice yoga. Like filling my own cup has really never been a problem for me because I can see so clearly that to be a good wife and mom, my cup has to be full. And I will say that the ability to stay true to my habits has increased greatly since having a walk-in experience. It's my I just can maintain, and I understand I do have the time to do all these things. And I think a big struggle for people is just the story that they don't have time. And when you sit down and just get to the nitty-gritty of it, it's like I have 30 minutes to meditate. I absolutely have 30 minutes to meditate, or I have 20 minutes to practice yoga. It's yeah, I can just see through my own bluff a lot, and then I know that to be a good mom, I have to do these things.
Yeah, that's amazing. And well, I'd love to hear about your walk-in experience. So I'm just putting that there. But I also like, I just want to say for everybody who's listening, the story of time scarcity is by far the one that I struggle with the most still. And like, it's interesting because, time and money for us is so related. And I've softened the money scarcity piece. But the time scarcity one still has such a, it just feels so real. Money and energy, like energy levels to be able to sustain the things that I want to do. So it's kind of, or sorry, time and energy. So it's kind of like a fear that number one, I will have, maybe I'll have enough time, but I won't have the energy to do the things, or that I will have all the energy to do the things, but I won't have enough time to do it. And I just want to normalize this. If other people are feeling, like, but I don't have time, this is a thing that goes on in my head constantly, constantly. But It's just as much of a holographic illusion as everything else. And I noticed that. And I noticed myself kind of like, just like you said, sort of calling the bluff of that lie inside that feels so convincing that it dominates the way that we spend our days. And just kind of like, for example, if you can't do something every day, I'm just really committed to getting my heart rate up 3 times a week right now. And usually that involves going to the gym because that's totally outside of my pattern and comfort zone. And I'm trying to reinforce a new pattern. And so, like, sometimes my brain will tell me that I don't have the time to do this, but I'm like, no, but you do. Like, you want, you do. Half an hour on a machine is not a long, that's not a lot of your day. There is time in there, but it can be about anything, right? And like, I'm also trying to apply this to consistency on social media because I really value my audience so much. And I've been like, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to post. I don't have the time to make an Instagram post, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, but what if you just do have time and you just stop playing with that story, which is so powerful, and like throwing more and more fuel on the fire of that story, keeping it roaring and alive. And what if you just decide you have the time, and then so you just do it, and then you just do it. And yeah, it's as simple as that, and it feels so hard all at once. So I think it's really cool that you just seem to have that ability to see the illusion of those stories within yourself and just be like, no, not we're not doing it.
Yeah, totally. And I will say, like, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about Instagram. I'm like, well, maybe you're all, I also feel like there might be a layer of protection. Like, maybe that is a service piece that you think will be of service, but it is actually draining you. So there might be a level where you don't need to be on Instagram as much as you think. And I know that comes and goes. Like sometimes it will fill your cup. And I think that that's the awareness of what fills my cup and what drains my cup is what makes me have more time. Because if I'm trying to make a post on Instagram and I'm slugging through trying to do it, I know that I'm only doing it because I think I need to. And it's
Totally.
And then sometimes I'm trying to make a post and everything's flowing easily and it feels really good and it's filling my cup and that it's like, okay, so this time my energy right now is in alignment with doing this and I'm gonna keep going. And if something goes wrong and it's not working out, I'm like, I'm gonna stop now because this isn't doing anything for me. And if I keep pushing through, it's not gonna do anything for my Instagram for sure. And it's just wasting my time. And then that I think it's also funny because there's a layer of like there's a 3D layer where it's like you think you don't have time, but you sit on your phone for 30 minutes and scroll or and then but then I was laughing because there's also a piece where once you get through that, I've noticed and I've played around with a lot like being late for yoga, but just consciously breathing and not being worried about it. And then like the clock doesn't move and I get to yoga like right when I'm supposed to. And like, so there is that holographic layer that you can play around with that it's like totally fake. And if
Yeah.
you just stay in your frequency, you can manipulate the whole system.
It's so true. It's like we are living, breathing hologram wizards, basically.
Yes.
I would love to talk about your walk-in experience that you've had and yeah, just tell us all about
Okay.
it.
Well, I was deep in meditation and I all of a sudden was I had like reached my zone through breathing and all of a sudden I was in what looked like a jungle forest and I felt this like incredible feeling of being home and I was just like looking around and I recognized everything, but also didn't. It was like a strange feeling. And then in that same moment, I was shown my Pleiadian self and it was like looking in a mirror, but she looked different, but it was and just knew it was me and she was looking back at me and I could kind of feel both perspectives and I could feel the love that she had always had for me and that I had always had for her. And I knew instantly that she's always been here. My feeling of it, and I'm not sure if it's like a parallel timeline or if it's just because everything is now, but I know that that's me there, and it's not even necessarily like a different version or aspect. Like, it's me in my home in Pleiades. And so the way that it was shown to me was she was got into an incubator and they'd like flip the switch, and then I felt her join me here. And I mean, the overwhelming feeling and like just tears streaming down my face, like it's the most bizarre experience, but there's just no denying it. And a couple days after that is, and the message that came with that was like, it's time for you to start serving others. Like, you've done your work, and now it's time to be in service of others. And within a week of that, my business took off. And I was doing three readings a day for I think 2 months, and I had only been doing readings periodically. Like, that was an insane, I needed that aspect of me to join me here to be able to do that, and I could feel that, and it was no problem. Like, it was just like, oh, this is what I do. And my favorite part of that story is that experience happened to me, and I didn't tell anyone about it because it's bizarre. And I was with my brother one day, and he decided to share with me a weird story he had experienced that he'd had 4 or 5 years prior. And he said he was on a walk on a like cold winter night, and he did a breath work. And when he finished his breath work, he looked at the sky, and a cluster of stars came towards him. And he was moved to tears, and he was like, oh, that's my home. Like, I'm from there. And he told me this story. And as I'm listening, I'm like, oh my God, is this going to be the Pleiades star system? And I didn't tell him yet, but because he's not quite so mystical, and he's a little bit has like, what's the word? Maybe like disbelief. So I wanted to be careful. But I asked him to draw the stars, and he drew it, and I ran upstairs, and I had never even looked at the Pleiades star system. Like, that happened to me, and I just knew Pleiades was out there, and that's where I was from, but I hadn't thought to like, oh, go look at it outside in the constellations. And I Googled the star, I took a picture of the stars in Google, and what came up was Pleiades, and just like flooded in. I'm like, yep. I mean, I already knew my brother's like my partner here. We're here to help each other on our missions. And yeah, it was just such a cool experience. And I went down and told him, and he was like, holy shit. Like, are you kidding me? After I told him my whole story. But
And that's an amazing story, and also that your brother got to, I don't know, that it's just a nice thing. Like, when you're giving him a shout out for sharing his resources with you along the way, I was thinking like he probably feels equally grateful to you, because it's so gratifying when you go through transformations and then you want to share it with someone you care about and they receive it and they come along on the journey with you. And yeah, it's just really beautiful that the two of you get to sort of like experience this awakening along your own journey, but you get, I don't know, you get to share it with each other. It's just really special.
yes, it is totally.
And so with the walk-in experience, like how, I mean, how has it felt for you? Do you, is it kind of like on one hand you just feel like Jacqueline, and on the other hand you feel like Jacqueline and something extra? Like, what, you know, how do you feel? How's it shifted your identity, I guess, is kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, let's see. I feel much more at home in my body, and I feel I've expanded would be the word. And I just feel this sense of like I can be terrified, but I'm gonna do it anyway. When the prior version of myself would be like, that's too scary, I'm not doing it. even if it's clearly what I need to do to progress on this path, I would shut it down. And I'm like, nope, I'll stay small. I'm fine. I'm not growing. And now there's just this empowerment that I have of like, I can do this. And it also gives me comfort. And I know that like I can tune in to her in Pleiades and the family and the love that's surrounding her there. I can tap into that and feel that. And it just fuels my fire, I guess. And I have so much more trust for my dharma here and my ability to help people. And it kind of helped remove like, oh, there's a term for it I can't think of now. Like when you think you're faking it, but you're not.
The imposter syndrome.
Yes, it removed that for me. Like it's just, I just know so much what I experienced was real and that I'm here to help people and we all are. Like I'm special and we all are. And of course I'm here to help people and I just feel safe to pursue it now.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it so much. And so I'd love to talk about how you came to decide or to feel drawn to the Akashic Records and sort of how, when you say you're here to help people, like how it's wanting to come through you, how it's leading you right now, in what ways you help people.
Okay. Yeah. I've told you this before, but the first time your podcast for a long time felt like it was really geared towards spiritual awakenings and all your guests would share their spiritual awakenings. And I loved that so much. And it helped me through my journey so much. And then I remember one day I was driving to yoga and I pulled up one that said Akashic Records that was in the title and it's the podcast started and you started talking about the Akashic Records, and I was like, whoa, this is something really big that I'm not ready for yet. And I pulled out of that podcast and went to a different one. I knew the Akashic Records were something big for me that was going to be big in my life. And it was like paired with a knowing that it wasn't time yet. And then I'm trying to remember. I think you ran. I proceeded to be interested about the Akashic Records and like kind of started to listen to you talk about it and start to understand it a little bit more. And then you did a flash sale on the Akashic Records. And that at that point, I had always like dreamed of being a medium. And so when I finally like accepted the Akashic Records and started learning about them and seeing what they were, is when I realized mediumship is something I love, but the Akashic Records is actually what I'm here for. And then you inspired me to see that like being an Akashic reader was possible, and your money story, like everything about it, just you activated so many codes within me that showed me what was possible. And when you put that into the Akasha on sale, that's when I dove in, and immediately, because the in that program you kind of teach concepts for a little bit before you go in. But the first time we went in, I knew that place, and I was so comfortable there, and I was like, ooh, I immediately want to start helping people. And I put it out there that I was going to do written readings for free, and I did like five of them. And the responses I got back, like I think every single person said they were moved to tears. And I just realized, like, this is really big. And I came here to do this. In terms of, I think that I'm realizing my biggest piece of helping people is the energy I'm emitting during a reading. I have spent time falling in love with my darkness and healing every layer that I've seen so far, seeing it and looking at it and loving it. And I know that because I can see my darkness and love my darkness, what I'm doing for people is being able to witness theirs energetically. And I know that underlying, that's why my readings are so powerful. And then on top of the fact that I'm just very naturally can be in that frequency and pull through answers to their questions. And then along with the fact that I have read hundreds and hundreds of books on spirituality and awakenings and the nature of reality, and I think because I can pull through so much energy paired with the vocabulary I have, that I can really help switch people's perspectives and shift the way they think about life. And I think it's I mean, the feedback I get from my clients is what keeps me going, because I just know that what I'm doing here is bigger than me, and it also just like fills me up to the brim doing it.
And I mean, like, I've been so lucky to see you in action, although it's in a slightly different setting, because in the certification we would do group readings. So I haven't seen you just one to one, and I know that there is a difference because obviously I read the records too. But from the opportunities that I've had to see you, it's like, yeah, you just bring through very helpful, poignant information, and I feel like you're very good at articulating it as well, and you know, explaining it so that it makes sense to the person as it's coming through, which is a whole skill set on its own. And then, but you also, I could totally feel that energy that is coming off of you while you're doing it, and I'm sure it's even more potent in the intimacy of a one-to-one reading as well. But yeah, I mean, I remember we talked about that in the certification as well, is like there's a portion of the Akashic reading that is a verbal exchange, and then underneath it in the background the whole time there's like this really deep energy work and recoding that's happening that can never actually be conveyed, you know, and it's but it's so beautiful to be aware of it.
Oh yeah, the more I do it, the more aware I am of it, and that means I can put my attention and intention on it in the background, and even when I'm closing my eyes in their field, like just do it so much more potently, adjust their frequency or like remove blocks and just filter through their energy through my heart, and it's so powerful.
It's so powerful. And I would love to touch on something that you said on one of our certification calls, which is that when you, I can't remember if you said it was when you signed up for Into the Akasha on that Black Friday sale that I did, or if it was when you joined the certification, but you spent time just going into the Akashic Records without any objective necessarily, other than to just attune yourself and familiarize yourself with that frequency, right?
Yeah, that was into the Akasha. I because the first time I went in, the first I got so much information. But then after that, when I was trying to go in for myself on these big questions, it was much sticky. Like this, the more I wanted to know the answer, the stickier it was, and I could understand that my own bias was in the way. And that was when I realized, and you had said, if you're not getting anything, just spend time in the frequency. And you called it a shower for your consciousness. And so for a what if I wasn't going in for someone I was doing a reading with, I was going in and just sitting there. I wasn't trying to take my own questions in. I understood that that was too much pressure, and I needed to just calibrate to the frequency of the records. And then the shower for your consciousness, that really pieced this body physical piece in for me, because I could feel it. Like I could, it feels so good to sit in it. Like you're just your whole, it's like getting a vibrational massage on your whole body. And now I'm very aware of how that's changing neurons in my brains. It's changing my DNA. It's on a cellular level, like clearing me out and cleaning me out. And it's my favorite. Like, I'm so thankful for you to teaching for teaching me that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel I'm glad that you get it. And I feel like that's like, I don't know, maybe 75% of the reason that I even teach about the Akashic Records is just that, is just the more like passive and receptive experience of just attuning to the Akasha without necessarily needing it to yield something directly to our conscious mind, although it can, obviously, because now you and I do readings like as a paid service. It absolutely can. And like you said, sometimes the conscious mind wants an answer so much that it's being kind of grabby about it. And that grabbiness, it's like trying to grab a cloud. The cloud cannot be grabbed. So the more we grab, the more nothing we have, the more nothing we get. But then if we just sit and sort of blend with that cloud, then it just sort of, it's like the answers come in. They come in this gentle way. They come in and reveal themselves in due time, you know, and it just like completely, yeah, it tunes your frequency up to levels where I feel like the byproduct is that, at least for me, I just am that in so much more peace in being myself and being alive. I have so much less resistance to life. And even though I still have emotional highs and lows, and I still have like responses to things, you know, I can see something and it makes me sad. That sad feeling also just automatically like has an edge of grace to it, where it's like, sure, okay, I'm sad and that's valid, but I can sort of see the presence of God in all the things. And that to me is like priceless. I believe that we get to have the answers that our mind needs and is ready for, and like truly needs, not just things it needs. And I also believe that just be, like being able to see and feel and know God in everything has, for me, has been like totally worth it.
Oh, yes, I 100% agree with everything you said. And in the, and then another layer to it to add, which I think will be motivating to people, is as you sit in it, sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but it's this beautiful, like when you practice it a lot and you're going in it a lot, there's this beautiful thing that starts to happen where your trauma starts to be released. And density starts to be released, and you don't have to know the story behind it. You can, like, that's a point in time where you can, like, you're in the records already, you can ask and get some more descriptions, but also you can just sit there and breathe and embrace whatever energies is coming up paired with that density and breathe it through your heart, and it's just like is literally poofing from your field. And to sit there in that space, you're removing the blocks that you are working so hard in the 3D wanting to remove, when you could sit there for 3 minutes and do like months and months worth of work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just it. That's exactly it. That was such a beautiful way of putting it. It's like sitting in it in a way that's sort of more passive and receptive, meaning you're not trying to grab an answer, or you're not reaching for an answer. You're not going in with an expectation, but you can just go. I call it going into the records, but that's not even really accurate. It's like just attuning your vibration to a frequency that's already there all the time. But when we attune ourselves to that, then that frequency starts to gently lift density out of us without it having to be formulated around a question. And I love what you said, like you can see the story, and sometimes we will. And that's where we'll get like, you know, a vision or a knowing, or sometimes we understand the story through like a TV show or a movie that really resonates with us. And we did, but we don't have to see the story. We can just let the density be like cleared out of our field. Oh God, I just love the Akashic Records so much. I'm like, I could talk about it forever. Oh.
I agree. They're the best.
So, okay. So then I would love to hear you share kind of like, hold on, there's a few things that I want to ask you about. I want to ask you more about the journey of just like recognizing and validating this in yourself, because it is still a super, super marginalized thing. Like it's becoming way more popular. And, you know, like there are many more Akashic readers online now or on Instagram or wherever than there were 10 years ago. And it's still very, very fringe, and it's not something that's easily explained to like your average person that you encounter in life. So it takes extra, it t I don't know, I feel at least for me, like it took extra belief in myself and like extra drawing down into a certain level of strength and conviction to step into it. And was it like that for you? How did it feel to support yourself in making this move?
Yeah, for sure. It was like that for me. I have this tendency, and I have ever since I was little, to like, if I have a strong belief in something, I don't care what other people think. And so I'm lucky for that reason, because once, and I do have to say, getting validation from others, so starting to practice and to talk about it, like just doing it is huge, because is what gives you a layer of confidence to be able to step into it more fully. I lost my train of thought.
I think you were just saying like that piece being acknowledged, that like getting validation and practicing with others and getting feedback is really
Totally.
helpful. And you didn't need that validation in order to step onto your path. Like you don't, if you feel something really deeply in yourself, then you don't care enough about what other people think to stop you from moving in that
Yeah,
direction.
totally. So once I had gone in, done your into the Akash and gone in for myself and just known that, like, it's just like I just knew that not having a fear of what people think was what helped me to be like, hey, online, I'm gonna do 5 free practice readings. And then once you get that ball rolling of practicing and receiving that validation, it's like that just it fueled me so much to keep. And then that walk-in experience, it's like that was there's just I don't have a choice. I think once you wake up and you're choosing truth, you start to be aware of your dharma, like you really don't have a choice anymore. Like to back out would feel so much worse than to just step through my fears of being seen. And like I don't there's no turning back for me at this point. And yeah, I think I have you. So like I've watched you do it. I can see that you're safe. I can see that even though people might think we're crazy, we're safe, we're alive, we're not going to get killed in this lifetime. And just holding on to that for, yeah.
Yeah, so true. Like that we're because there were lifetimes where we got killed for, I don't know if it was specifically reading the Akashic Records or if it's just basically having an open channel at all and having the audacity to speak about it, even like covertly to the wrong person who, basically like sells you out or whatever. Like there's so many scenarios that have played out where it hasn't been safe. And so I really appreciate everything that you're saying, and I want the audience to know and hear that for both of us on our journeys, the fear has nonetheless been intense. And so I agree, like it's very similar to me. I'm like, I have a choice insofar as free will is a thing. I could totally walk away from this, but I couldn't, because it would never leave me. It's like a drive inside, it's a pull that's so strong. That it would, I agree with you, it would feel worse to leave that unsatisfied than to just follow it and move through those fear walls. But the fear walls are big. Like even before we hit record, you were just saying, like, you're having some of that residual past life trauma come up, but you're still here, you're still doing it.
Yeah, and for my first 75 readings, I was showing up with a pounding heart and my fists sweating and absolutely terrified. But the moment I realized, like, I just have to be present with this human being, and then I was easily accessible my magic, and it wasn't scary anymore. Like, I think really just entering the present moment when you're doing it eliminates all that fear. And then each time you do that, like your fear is an illusion, and the way your body's reacting, your heart's pounding, you're sweating, you feel like you're gonna puke. That's all trying to like prove to you that the illusion's real. But if you can breathe through it and get to the other side, you can see like, oh, none of that was real. Like, I'm just fine. And even if someone tells me I'm crazy, or even if someone tells me I don't believe in past lives, or I'm gonna be just fine. And I know it so much in my heart that I can allow them the space to feel what they feel, and I can keep going with what I feel. And I like my life feels pretty damn good. So why would I let fear of judgment or fear of failing stop me at this point? It's like I have too much to offer the people who come to me for readings to let my fear control me, and they have too much to offer me. Like, I'm getting so much every time I get a reading too, that I'm not, there's so much there that I'm not going to let my fear stop me from pursuing it.
Yeah, I like 100%. I mean, we're totally on the same page. We've had our own journeys, but very similar things. And I feel like these are important conversations to have that I don't know. I wished that I had heard people speaking more honestly about this stuff when I was working up the courage to step onto this path for myself, because I don't think like it's done intentionally to misrepresent the journey, but when I was listening to podcasts and looking for examples of people who did this and it's worked for them, a lot of the time the story would be like, oh my God, everybody told me that, this is what I should do. Or like it was so clear. There were so many signs, and like somebody gave me my first tarot deck and I just knew, and like all this kind of stuff that can become superstitious in your own mind if you are in a disempowered state. And it all sounded like, oh my God, it just all works out. And there were so many times where that fear did hold me back. Like, there were many times that I pressed live to go live on Facebook, and within like I would have to quit, 3 minutes in, because I couldn't even talk. I was so intensely like wrapped up in that body reaction telling me that it's not safe. But I just pushed through it. And I think sometimes, I don't know, like, yeah, I pushed through it, but I also, it really is just about showing yourself, like you said, just showing yourself that actually you're safe and it's okay, and it's safe and it's okay, and staying anchored in like, there's too much goodness here to let that fear limit us. Like, there's, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that it's a process. It's not clean. It doesn't feel like, just because it's your path doesn't make it an easy experience. Sometimes it is. There are certain things about it that can be easy when it's your aligned path, but there are other things that really require us to show up and grow past our limitations. And that is super uncomfortable and challenging. And yet it can still be your path. Like, to have challenges, to feel like you're not good at something, or to feel like something is too scary and you don't know how to do it, that can still be present and it can still be your path.
Yes, and I think that's why your podcast is the only one I've stuck with over the last 5 years, and I resonate with you so much, is because you bring that honesty and rawness to the table of because I do that, like, nobody you've talked to or heard talk saying it just came easy. They're probably just forgetting, and like they're just glistening over the beauty part of the story and leaving the details out, but those raw details are what the people who are doing the work n want. That's what that is going to help them to feel seen and to like keep them going. And yeah, I have to say too, because every time I've heard someone on your podcast say this, I'm like, oh, thank God they just said that, is I was not psychic when I was little. I didn't grow up. One thing I did, I always loved watching mediums, and I wanted what they could do so much, but I didn't come to this until after all of those 3D peeling back the layers of drinking minimalism, like until that's when I was started to be like noticing psychicness. It wasn't just there. I didn't have it growing up. And when I started hearing you listening to your portion where you're a psychic reader, I was like, oh, I probably won't get there because like I don't just naturally have it. And that was not true at all.
Totally. I'm so glad you said that because that's exactly. And I really feel like that interest in things like mediums is the thing that tells you that it's in you. Because I am not interested in playing basketball. Like, I don't care. I don't watch basketball. It doesn't matter to me if I ever learn how to become a basketball player. Does that mean that I can't learn how to play basketball? No, of course I can learn, and there will probably be limitations to, how far I can get with it in this life, but the absence of interest in it is the indicator that it's just not really for me in this life. So in the opposite way, I think that when people are interested in psychic abilities and they want that for themselves, that is the indication that it's in you and there's something there to pursue. I'm so curious. And yeah, many of us were not psychically activated as children. And even I'll say this, like, so I have three brilliant children. They all have their certain gifts in certain ways. I'll definitely say they're all psychic, but they also present as just very normal children. They're not like coming to me with big, long, elaborate recollections of past lives. They're just doing their thing. And when they get older, they may or may not remember. Like, my daughter has really activated healing hands, but she's also a royal little shit. And like, so like, I adore her. And I swear to God, she was a high level courtier in a past life because she completely thinks that we are all servants here to take care of her every whim. And so, and then like William is highly empathic and Francis is highly claircognizant, but they wouldn't necessarily like remember events or incidents. It's more like I can detect it because I'm interested in it. And so a lot of us who don't feel like we were psychic as children, I think it's because there was an absence of like big events that really, make it clear, but we were probably all just like low key psychic, it's just normal, and it was never fostered or brought out.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm curious then, do you feel like your psychic abilities were like somewhat cultivated or somewhat turned on, or you had some familiarity with them before signing up for Into the Akasha, or was that like part of the process for you?
Let's see. I had a few experiences before, and this was it was after I had found your podcast, but and it was after I'd gone through all of the quitting drinking, going minimalist, quitting shoplifting. Like, those were my really big pieces, and that's when I had, after getting rid of all that stuff and making my house so simple, I really had time to get to know myself, and that's when my journaling practice got really strong, and my meditation practice, I was more committed in doing it every day. And I had experiences that let me know like this magic is real. I wouldn't necessarily have like thought they were psychic experiences, but they were mystical, and I knew that like I said, the magic was real. One of them that I'll just tell you because it's kind of cool. I was in, well, side note, in yoga, I can see people's auras. So when I'm in the zone of doing like vinyasa flow, is when my extra chakras get turned on. So I knew that was there, and just like an indication, like this can grow. I know this is something really cool and powerful. And then so the experience I had, and this was right before I signed up for Into the Akasha, and I think it was what propelled me to do it. But I was in yoga and I was just like praying and asking, like, I really want to see my spirit guides. I really want to hear something. Like, please show me yourself. Please tell me your name, something, anything. And I kept hearing the word name Emmanuel. And in my head, I'm like, you're just saying a random name. Like, stop. But it didn't leave. And after yoga in the locker room, I typed in Emmanuel. I don't, and a scripture came up and it said something like, the Lord is always with you, or something like that. And I went out to my car and it had been raining. I have a picture, I should post it. There was a perfect cross in the rain in my window. Like, it was so bizarre. It looked like someone had it had rained with a sticker of a black cross. And that I was just like overcome with emotion. And that's when I was like, holy shit, like I can communicate with the unknown. This is all very real, and I want to put my attention and intention into this and grow it into something much bigger.
Oh my God, that's so amazing and so exciting. And like, totally. That's the funny thing, right? Is that we wouldn't necessarily call those psychic experiences or relationship with our psychic abilities. But in listening to you recount it, I'm like, well, that's totally what it was. Because the thing is that they're seldom like our spirit guides are seldom going to speak to us in direct English. Sometimes if somebody is clairaudient, that's how they receive, or they receive claircognizant telepathic messages in a whole sentence. Sometimes it can be English, like you experienced with Emmanuel, but it feels like it's just your own thought. And it's like like a huge piece that I feel really is, I don't know. I'm going down this line of conversation because really want everybody who desires to learn how to read the Akashic Records to feel like they're successfully doing it. And since I've run it for a number of rounds, I can see the places where some people get knocked off. And that place is around doubt. And it would be like choosing to listen to that voice that said, you're just saying a name to yourself. You're just making this up. Stop it. Like, that's a normal response for us to have. And there's no problem with having that response. And if you stop there, if you give it authority, then it's very hard to receive anything beyond that, not because it goes away, but because you're not acknowledging it. Now you're blocking it out and you're just dismissing everything. But because you, like, even if you still kind of said that to yourself, you retain an openness, which then allowed you to see a manifestation of a communication. And then you validated that for yourself and you based it on the way that it made you feel, right? And it's like all these really subtle things, but look, now you can do now because you let those be true and you kept going on the path. Now you're able to do readings for other people and receive validation in return that, like, this isn't it, although it kind of feels made up for a long time, it's not made up. And that you learn how to distinguish between the feeling of bullshitting and making it up versus actually receiving something, which then in turn makes it even easier to trust when something's coming through.
Yes, yeah, totally. And just emphasizing the acknowledging it and validating it, that's just so, even if that's just like having an experience and writing it in your journal, like I remember in the beginning of my journey, spending money would cause a lot of like guilt and uncomfortability every time I spent money. And so I would start practicing spending money, getting groceries, and being like, I'm so grateful. Like, I get these groceries. I didn't just lose money. I have groceries now, and I'm so grateful for that. And then, so I'd practice that, and then I'd get in the car, or I'd look at the receipt, and my angel number's on the receipt. And so they like go and then go journal that. Like, they just encouraged me. They just gave me validation. Like, I'm on the right path. And that's putting that energy into it grows it so much faster. And then that's also why you're so signing up for your class where you were doing practice readings. I knew it was going to be important, and that's why I spent the money to take to be in that container, but I didn't understand how freaking important it was. Like, because I just got to practice. So every single reading, I would get information and I would say like half of it, and then everyone else would say the other half. And it just showed me like I'm getting so much. I'm doing this. This is real. And it wouldn't, if I wasn't in that container, I wouldn't have had those opportunities. And then with mediumship, it's such a beautiful way to do it because the reaction, when I can describe someone's mother that's passed away to a T, and the reaction I get from them and the energy that they feel of showing them their mother's still with them and that I can see them and they're right here with us, that validation, the amount of energy they feel when they receive that, like just lights my psychic gifts on fire and expands them so much.
Totally, totally. I feel like the place that a lot of people get plateaued, even if they do feel like they're developing their abilities, is in like not sort of stepping beyond their comfort zone and practicing with other people and continuing to sort of like move into a place where you're a little bit uncomfortable with that. Like you started with written readings, which is what I started with too. I couldn't even handle the concept of sitting across from somebody. I was like, will I even get anything? I'll just be a bundle of nerves the whole time. But even with the written writings that I did, I still like when I would press send, it would be like heart thumping, like so much adrenaline going through me. And it was so intense. But then I eventually kind of got used to that. And the next step for me too was practicing to read with and for people. And for me, it was helpful to join a program where I would feel safe and it was kind of curated because I first kind of started in random Facebook groups and that was not a vibe. There's just like, there are weird energies going around out there. And people who want free psychic readings from random people on the internet, there's like some weird dynamics that can crop up.
Oh,
But
that's just
totally like, and the cool thing about the certification that I didn't fully know. I kind of, because I ran deeper into the Akasha, which was like my test run. And then I was like, okay, no, I can do this. I can like guide people to learn to tap into the Akashic records for themselves and for others. And, but what I didn't fully know was how much all of us who were basically on every call together would sync into the person's Akashic records like so smoothly. And like you said, like, you know, you're only articulating like 10% of what you're getting. There's so much that you can't articulate because of the nature of the way it's set up. But then we would hear somebody else say it, and it would be like, let's say if you didn't say a piece, but then maybe Kathleen would say it, but she would say it from her angle. And like certain things come through for each of us in a way that is stronger based on our unique gifts. So even within an Akashic Records reading, like I think Jacqueline and I have a very similar flavor, but the experience you'll have with Jacqueline will be really unique to her and like her blueprint and the particular, like her particular dharma with the Akashic Records. And mine will be different. And it's the same for all of us, but it's a very cool thing to see how much we can all be tapping into the same energy, but also like in a very unique, like we each have our own unique flavor of doing it.
It's really beautiful. And I like the people who got to come get readings from that our group, like they just got to receive so much magic because there's just seven beautiful lenses that were shining a light on whatever they were trying to receive clarity on. It was amazing. I'm so happy I did that course. That was the best decision I ever made.
Yay. And so what do you see for yourself now as an Akashic reader and all the things that you do?
Yeah, I have my kids in homeschooling is something that takes up a lot of my day, so I just keep a short period open and I love doing one-on-one sessions right now. Like I'll let's see. Yeah, I see myself keeping this going for quite a while, just doing one-off sessions, but I also love my mentorships. I offer mentorships, but in terms of like 45-minute Akashic readings, that's what I have the bandwidth to do right now with also raising my kids. And then I'm also offering spiritual life coach now, which I know that a huge group of people that I'm reaching is people who are early in their awakenings. And I'm done so much work in that. I've done that. I've been there. I've done that. And I'm still doing it. And I know that I can just really effectively accelerate people's awakening and get them where they want to go really quickly because I've done it and I know how to talk about it and be about it.
Totally. And you have such a beautiful gift for sitting with somebody and really seeing them. And like something you were saying earlier, like you have taken the time to fall in love with your own darkness, which allows you to then see somebody else's darkness and love their darkness. And so not only can somebody be really seen by you in a one-to-one, like a single session, but also in the mentorship and the spiritual life coaching capacity too. It's like there's such a profound gift in being seen. And I'll say too, to everybody listening, like it was a humongous edge for me to decide to invest in coaching and mentorship. I had total panic attacks, totally thought that I was insane and like was so afraid of what people would think if they knew that I was spending my money on this. It sounds crazy, depending on where you're at. But there's like never discount the value of it. And it's hard spiritual people to really articulate in words, like on social media or a website or somewhere where you would go to read about it or learn about it. It's hard to articulate the value of it because it's so personalized and individual. But I'll just say, like, if you are going through an awakening and you resonate with Jacqueline, like, basically, and you feel called to explore the concept of working with her in mentorship or spiritual life coaching, like beyond, there's so much to be said and so much magic in single sessions, but there's so much value in longer periods of working with somebody because it basically like it saves you, let's be real, like months and months and months and sometimes years of sort of stumbling around in the darkness and feeling completely disjointed and like a weirdo, and not knowing like how to make sense of the rapid changes that you're experiencing to your own consciousness and then also to your life. Whereas working with a spiritual life coach or working with a mentor helps to anchor all that and give you somebody that you can trust to talk about it with who won't judge you. Like we don't all have spouses that we can talk about it with or siblings. Like it's amazing, amazing that you did. And I do too. Like I could talk about this stuff with Alex. But my previous partners, I could never, ever talk about this with them. Like, I just would have been gaslit all over the place. And it was just not safe. And sometimes you just need to have somebody in your corner that you can talk to who will just kind of anchor you while you're feeling crazy. So you can
Totally.
feel crazy. And they are the stable anchor that's like holding you here.
Yeah, and they can see they don't have any attachment to the way you are or the way you grow or the way you live your life. They can just see I can see very clearly what needs to happen, what little mind shifts needs to be made. And so my Akashic mentorships and Akashic readings, you are coming to me with questions, and I'm answering your questions from the Akashic records. And I realized that I wanted to start spiritual coaching because I have so much more to offer than so I can give answers from the Akashic records, and that works for an Akashic records reading. But if you want more, I can pair my Akashic records readings with my life and my experiences and everything I've read, and just accelerate you on so many different levels of who I am. And yeah, I'm just really excited about it. And I love spiritual awakenings. I love people's stories. I love my story. I love the way it happens. And I now have the ability to see how to speed it up and what to do to get where you want to be much faster.
So good, so exciting. If you feel like working with Jacqueline, I like obviously 10 out of 10 recommend. I've seen her in action. She just brings through such beautiful work. And I've also seen and heard the testimonials and feedback from other people who have had a reading with her from my audience who have like let me know that it was an amazing reading. So yeah, if you vibe with her, definitely check her out. And of course, all the links will be in the show notes so that you can easily do that too.
Yeah, thank you.
Jacqueline, I love you. I'm so glad that you came into my world. I'm so grateful for you.
I love you. You have no idea how grateful I am for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom and your journey and your beautiful light. And thank you, amazing listeners, as always, for just hanging with us for the last, I don't know, it's probably like an hour and a half by the time I add the intro. I appreciate you. I appreciate that you're a busy person and you have other things that you could be listening to, but you're hanging with Jacqueline and I, and that means the whole entire world. It means everything. So thank you for the powerful currency of your attention and the powerful, beautiful resource of your time. I hope that you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, my friend, and I'll catch you on the next episode.